Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think he has a tremendous arm talent. I think he, you know, he's a great person. You know, I think he handles, you know, the criticism and the media that is thrown at him very well. Honestly, I think that he continues to be his own person, which is very commendable. So, and on top of that, he's a tremendous football player. I mean, you guys have watched the film. He's a special talent.
Bears wide receiver Rome Odunze. Right there, talking about Caleb Williams, who is a Chicago Bear. Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to see it in motion, see some Bears rookie camp. I mean, I honestly, like, I always look forward to the Bears off-season stuff and training camp and all of that, you know, OTAs, and I know some of it can be drudgery or sound like it, but it amps up so much this year, just watching every little, and it was like that with Trubisky too. And it was like that with Justin Fields, as we all, you know, watched Andy Dalton. We were like, where's Justin Fields? But now we know a little bit more about that. It's a little bit more understanding now, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, I cannot wait to get this thing going. One of the things that occurred, and we all sort of fell for it to some degree months before the draft, and that was some of the information that was out there about Caleb Williams and some of what some people considered to be eccentric personality traits, even physical traits with the painting of the nail polish, crying to mom, all of that rubbish, which was brought up for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess if you're a star, everything ends up getting out there. The thing that I stopped and paused, I mean, all that other stuff was ridiculous, whatever. But the thing that made me pause a little bit was when it got to the point of, oh, man, is Caleb Williams going to be the first guy we're going to see player empowerment at another level here, like where Caleb just doesn't really want to go to the Bears and Colin Coward's on the score telling people that, you know, I don't know, man, it doesn't really seem like a place that he'd want to go, you know, as if Caleb Williams has got some sort of power. It made you feel like Caleb Williams didn't really want to be here because it's where quarterbacks go to die, or maybe it's the cold. I mean, I can't imagine being somebody who is in love with USC and that whole lifestyle wanting to be a Chicagoan necessarily. Oh, he's going to fall in love with it. But I can see where somebody wouldn't see it from that perspective. So that was all out there. And is he going to do something through his agency or through his father? Is his father the one pulling the strings in the background? Oh, man, we've got a Budinski father again. Oh, man, we've got to deal with this. We've got one of those guys, huh? Oh, man. You know, this is not just for the Ball family. It's for the Willie, like, because that's what you start to think. You're like, uh-oh, Budinski dad. And I was worried about it, of course. I'm like, man, what's he telling this kid? He was probably giving him all the right advice, actually. He, like, this is now, in, you know, after all is said and done, I think he's probably very, I don't know, I've never talked to Carl Williams. Hopefully I will someday. My guess is that he's about as reasonable as any of you other fathers that are listening right now. And I'm going to tell you what, Carl Williams may be the most important, you know, figure of the Chicago Bears right now, because he probably advised his son to, hey, look, the Bears are probably going to draft you. There's probably nothing you can do about that, but let's find out from the Bears. Let's sit with them. Let's talk to Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham and Matt Eberflus and find out how in the hell are things going to be different. Caleb, I'm only 22, but I know the history of the Bears. And that's where Dad comes in, too, because he knows the history of the Chicago Bears and what's been going on here and how that a lot of players have come in very excited and then literally left the building with their heads hanging low, that this would not be a desirable place to be if you are a quarterback or a receiver or any kind of weapon. We've been asking these questions forever, forever, except for every once in a while there's a spasm of offense from the Bears. We've been wanting to get in that front office with whomever it has been through the years and ask the same questions. How is this thing going to be different this time? Why is it going to be different? And that's what Carl Williams and Caleb Williams, and they probably weren't pounding their fists like I am, but that's what they wanted to know, exactly what all of us have been wanting to know. Listen to Caleb Williams here as he discusses that part of the Bears coming to Chicago and what is making him feel comfortable about being here.
My dad's been a part of my life. He's a lot smarter than me, has a lot more wisdom than me, so that's why he's heard a lot of people speak before. He's in the world of business and real estate, so he's been in it for many, many years. So the wisdom part and me trusting him, that's why he's a part of it. And then the other half of that, what was the first part of the question again?
What was the explanation that...
Yep, I got you. Yeah. So the explanation was just that they haven't put, you know, everybody in the right spaces. You know, that's their mission and goal here. That's why y'all have been seeing, you know, the people hired, whether it's coaches, executives, PR teams and things like that, and then getting those right people to bring in the right people for the culture and to lead to victories and you know, the brotherhood that we should have.
I think at least the way the Bears front office is comporting themselves, again, on paper, this is unprecedented stuff, the way I see it, in terms of expanding the PR team and the media relations team and all of that. As Caleb Williams, the people that have been hired, they are hiring extra people in the front office. This is like the way the McCaskies have run the team. They have tried to keep, and this is their prerogative, they have kept things as insular as possible, not wanting the outside voices. That's why the Kevin Warren hiring was such a massive deal, because they just refused to bring in other people with that they would hand over power to. But in this case, it sounds like they, or as an organization, starting at the top, credit to the McCaskies, it sounds like they are allowing for whatever needs to happen to make this front office right, or to make this team right for a quarterback to play offense in 2024. They have not been putting everybody in the right spots. That's what Caleb Williams is saying, that in the past, they have not protected people as well. We don't know the specifics of that, but I think that we all can understand what's going on and what they're wanting to know and what the Bears are trying to build. I always say, like, there is a Cubs comp here. The Cubs, organizationally, were kind of a mess before Theo Epstein got there in terms of facilities here, facilities in Arizona, facilities in the Dominican Republic, all of that, and mostly at home. The Cubs' infrastructure was a disaster. The way they did business, who they hired and who they didn't hire, analytics guys, departments like that, they were behind the times. And I think the Bears have been behind the times, too, with a lot of things like that. But I'm talking about the on-the-field product. The Bears offensively have been behind the times forever. So you're damn right. If I'm Caleb Williams' dad, or it's my son in this situation, I certainly want to know. And if I'm Caleb Williams, I want to know how things are going to be different. And we are seeing action, talking about what they're doing in the front office and hiring more people. And we're keeping it to on the field. Caleb Williams now has DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Dunze. Those are things that they are putting around them, around this man. So actions are starting to take place, but this is why that part of it, you know, if his dad did have that kind of influence, and it sounds like he did, because, you know, Carl has had life experience and business experience, that these are the questions that we've all been begging and dying to ask organizationally. We get a crack at asking questions to all of the general managers, but we don't get to ask the or get answers to the big picture questions of why. I mean, that would probably not even be the format. What's been, because, you know, obviously Ryan Poles is not here 3 years ago. The baton keeps on getting passed and passed and passed, but there are organizational things that have been around since the start of the organization. So those are the people that hire the people that do this, and now they're doing things differently, just the way the Cubs did. So I've gone from, oh man, is Carl Williams going to be a problem, to this guy may be one of the secret weapons to the Bears' success going forward just by asking questions. And look, I think Ryan Poles, look, he's earnest in all of this too. He's sick and tired of hearing about what has happened in the past. He's literally expressed that to us. This is different. Now you know, he's got to know that this is very much a part of, it's in any of us who are from Chicago, from the area, it's in our DNA. And if you're not, objectively, it should be in your DNA that the Bears don't know how to run an offense. So to be able to, you know, pin the Bears down a little bit on that and force them to act. And my point about Ryan Poles is obviously he's desirous of acting and getting this right as well. And I hope that the Bears continue to give him the right resources to do his job as well, for the sake of this offense. The other one that I thought was really good from the press conference was Kevin Warren. We're talking about Kevin Warren as well. And it was Rome or Caleb? No, it was Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was asked about Kevin Warren. Hey, have you had a chance to meet the big boss yet? Have you sat down with him at all?
Yes, we did. He actually showed me. He showed me a video of the stadium, which is pretty sick. A little sneak peek, you know. Showed me a video of the stadium that they're going to build in a couple years, I believe. And so, just exciting times. And he was just voicing that, you know, they want to win here. So something I'm really excited about.
Tyler, I like the idea of thinking about Kevin Warren just wherever he goes. He's got the blueprints like rolled up and they're sticking out of his pockets. They're just all over the place. Have you seen the renderings? Hey, have you seen the red? Like, he'll have like a quick handshake with, yeah, nice to meet you, Caleb. Goes, yeah, this is great. You're going to be great here. It's going to be awesome. We are going to win Super Bowls with you. Hey, come on over here, man. Let me show you the blueprint right here.
This is where I see this pretty stadium. Come here. Look what I got.
Look at that. Have you seen the renderings? Have you seen video from the big press conference? It's pretty awesome. So I do. I like to think that's what, like, right away, Caleb Williams is like, oh yeah, man, he's talking to me about the stadium. That's good, though. That's probably a good idea on Kevin Warren's part. Here's this really cool, as he said, sick stadium idea that we have for the Bears. But no, I just like blueprints falling from him, and I love it. I love the idea.
He takes pride in this, and like with the whole stadium thing, he's got to be having a whole bunch of these just around all over.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you this. I covered the press conference at Soldier Field, where they rolled out the renderings and had a very dramatic introduction and performance, I call it, with all of the different parts involved, including Kevin Warren. And, you know, I got to see the video before anybody else did, along with, you know, about 30 other media members as well. And then about 300 people, the townspeople were out as well. But I'm a sucker for this stuff. I know that there are a lot of red flags and a lot of things that still have to be taken care of in order for the Bears to build on the lakefront again and reform that area, and do what you've seen the renderings, do what they plan to do. But man, I am thumbs up on it. I've said it all along. I do. If I had the choice and all things are equal and it doesn't crush anybody, you're damn right I want the Bears to stay downtown. And I think it would be ridiculously beautiful. And like I said, I understand red flags, but that thing looks awesome.
The biggest issue that I have with it is that we still don't know where the hell we're going to park. Like,
don't worry
about
the
parking lot. The little tiny one at the bottom. How are we going to tailgate, Grody?
That's true, man. Hey, man, as somebody who...
Other than that, I love the stadium. It looks gorgeous. I'm excited, especially when they can host Super Bowls and the Final Four and all that fun stuff, but I want a tailgate.
The funny part is I don't really care about all that other stuff. I just think, like, that'd be an awesome Bears experience.
Oh, yeah.
All the other stuff, that's fine. You could have your Final Four and all the... Well, I probably will partake in some of the concerts that occur out there, but... Yeah, I mean...
The glass that you can see the whole city skyline, it's gorgeous. I mean, yeah. But still, I want to be able to park, Grody.
That's true.
I want a tailgate.
I understand. Yeah, I've had a lifetime? No, I think... When did I retire from tailgating? I had a forced retirement from tailgating. Converging with being in the business... And me realizing drinking's not a good idea for you anymore. But man, some of the South lot days of tailgating, when you crack that first old style at 8:30 in the morning, boy, there is something about that. That's a different buzz. The 8:30 in the morning. Bears fans right now, you know what I'm talking about. You tailgaters, Butterbaugh, you know what I'm talking about.
It is different, man.
You arrive, you've only been up for like an hour. You're still cleaning the sleep out of your eyes. You're finishing the Starbucks that you got on the way at the drive-thru. It's 8:35. Your buddies are setting up the tent, and finally somebody says, here you go. You want a beer? Yeah, what the hell? It's 8:30. I want to feel that morning buzz. And then it's the sunshine starts beaming on you, and then the parade of people make the walk to Soldier Field, and you're throwing away, you're getting as much drinking in as you can before the big green garbage cans come up, and then you dunk them in there, and then you get into Soldier Field, you get into your seat, maybe you strategically use the bathroom one more time, but then what do? Somebody's got to go get beer. Let's keep this buzz going. There. So then you got the pregame cold buzz, it's a little bit warmer, it's a Bears game. You're fueled up, and then you know what I'm talking about now. You can't get out of Soldier Field. Somebody's got to stay sober, so somebody does that. But then, you know, you have a few more beers out in the parking lot after the game. It's a full, wonderful thing. And then some of us would even then go out after that and make an entire night of it. So that was professional tailgating 101 right there.
That you nailed it on the coffin. That's how I've always done it, and that's how you do it.
The best part was always it's 9 o'clock. Let's go out. Let's go to Tunes or something like that, man. Let's go cause some more trouble. We're already drenched.
Let's raise hell.
Yeah. Why not? So I don't have that relationship anymore. I no longer have a relationship with alcohol. I no longer have a relationship with tailgating because, you know, I cover the Bears for a living. So, but our family and friends still in the same seats? Yes, there are season tickets in the Grody family and then another family that's close to us. So they're always there. We're just all a lot older now. So but every once in a while, you know, the kids, the nieces and nephews will start to pop up, but they're a little too young yet.
Age is just a number, man. You can still party it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just, you know, I find different ways to create my happiness while I'm out.
That's, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You always seem happy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to be. I try to be. I like to put that out there. I like to put good vibes out there for sure. Let's get back to talking about the Chicago Cubs. We opened the show discussing where Craig Counsell is in terms of needing to push his starters, but it's really not a great idea, as he found, to push starters, because when he has done it, there have been exact results that have been negative. And then the bullpen, just trying to push guys a little bit too far because he needs to get the innings out of these guys. Daniel Palencia today was good, and then he wasn't good. Keegan Thompson was good, and then he wasn't good. So there's just all these little things that, yes, Craig Counsell has to manage. But he has his team at 19-13. One of the Cubs' prized possessions in the organization, Cade Horton, recently promoted to AAA, so he is on the come. And when we return, we will be joined by Alex Cohen, the radio and TV broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs and the Marquee Sports Network. He is next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your bill.
feeling.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Valencia shaking him off twice, now acknowledges, looks at second, and deals the payoff pitch. Line drive, base hit down the left field line. This is going to roll all the way to the corner. Beatty around third. He's coming home. Tie ball game. Bader behind him. Here comes the throw. It's squibbed in the infield. Sliding in safely is Bader, and the Mets walk it off. Francisco Lindor wins the game. New York, a 7-6 victory over the Cubs in 11 innings.
Settle for a four-game split in a very entertaining series throughout. That game went down today. Again, Mets beat the Cubs. Sudden death in the 11th inning. Lindor had a couple of two-run hits in this game, and it should be noted that the first one was as a pinch hitter. Came off the bench and just torched and took the Cubs down, essentially, as they lose it 7-6 today, 19-13. Overall, by the way, Kyle Hendricks had a very successful rehab start for Nashville tonight. Five innings, allowing just two runs. Just looking at a video that alarmed me that he took a line shot off of his foot, but he was fine. I don't think that anything has been exacerbated in whatever injury Kyle Hendricks actually has right now. But we'll see. We'll find out what is next for Kyle Hendricks. Another pitcher in the Cubs organization that we're going to be talking about what's next for is one of the Cubs' top prospects. He is Cade Horton, the number two prospect, at least by the list that I was looking at, in the Cubs organization, 22-year-old starting pitcher, seventh overall pick for the Cubs in 2022, and he was recently just promoted from AA to AAA. He is now with the Iowa Cubs, and one would assume that he is on the brink of potentially getting called up if he has success at Iowa. That said, a guy who keeps track of all of these prospects, especially the iCubs, is the play-by-play man for the Iowa Cubs, and that is Alex Cohen. He's a radio and TV broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs and the Marquee Sports Network. You can find him on Twitter at Voice of Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. Alex, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on the Score tonight.
Nah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. And you looked at the right list. Cade Horton is the number two ranked prospect in the organization and got promoted up to AAA this week, and he's making his AAA debut on Saturday. So fun times with the Iowa Cubs.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. All right, so tell us, what makes Cade Horton so good? Why is he the number two prospect, as you said, as you confirmed for me, in the Cubs organization?
He's really athletic. You look at him, 6'1", 210 pounds, and every motion about him is just athletic. It's a whippy arm action. Ball just jumps out of his hand. Just watching his highlights, watching his bullpen, everything is sharp, everything is hard, everything is fluid. And it's really interesting because if you look at some of the top prospects in all of baseball from a pitching perspective, you have Cade Horton, who's arguably the third best prospect in all of minor league baseball when it comes to starting pitching. Paul Skeens is number one. And you couldn't have two more different pitchers because Paul Skeens, tall, big, thick, everything is heavy. Sinker ball pitcher, throws four different pitches, really gets it on the hands. And Cade Horton, a little bit shorter, more athletic, whippy motion, it just couldn't be more different. And these guys both have had so much success in their minor league career to this point. Obviously, Skeens was taken a year after Cade Horton when it comes to minor league baseball experience. But, you know, those are two pitchers right now in the National League Central. It is not if they're going to get to the big leagues, it is when, and when this year. So they're both really impressive. I'm really looking forward to seeing Cade Horton make his AAA debut this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I always love it. I love it when there is a prospect and he's on the cusp, and in this day and age, Like, we're all watching, we're all keeping track, we're all listening and watching you, Alex, because we're all excited about it. And Kate Orton, he did pass the first test, four games with AA Tennessee, 1-0 with a 1.10 ERA and 18 strikeouts. You've seen a lot of these prospects through the years, whether doing what you do or just watching the Chicago Cubs. Is Cade Horton the type of guy who can ascend to, is he like the type of guy that's projected to ascend eventually to the top of a rotation? How good is Cade Horton relative to maybe other big-time Cubs pitching prospects and the pitchers that exist now?
Well, first and foremost, he's probably the most highly anticipated Cubs starting pitching prospect since Mark Pryor.
Wow.
And that is not hyperbole.
Okay.
You know, seventh overall pick obviously came to the Cubs with an arm injury, limiting his innings his first year. But now, I mean, it's all steam ahead. You know, he went five innings in his last start with Tennessee, struck out six, didn't give up a run. And then coming up to Iowa as a 22-year-old righty, I mean, it's just plus stuff, three pitches, fastball, you know, mid to high 90s. And again, not a big guy, but it's just such an athletic delivery. There's so much movement of all his pitches and his poise. I mean, if you look at his stats in his minor league career, albeit brief, doesn't walk many hitters. He's in and around the strike zone. If anything, he's effectively wild with the secondaries, gets a lot of swings and misses on those. It is the most anticipated Cubs pitching prospect in two decades, and I think he's going to live up to that.
Oh, man, since Pryor. Ugh. Man, I was like, when I hear the name Mark Pryor, because Mark Pryor is one of my, like, for what he did in the 2003 season, that year that he put together was one of the best seasons cover to cover that I've seen a Cubs pitcher put together. And I've seen Kerry Wood, and I've seen Greg Maddux, and what those guys, and Jake Arrieta. But that, the dominance of Mark Pryor and what he was able to do, mixing that the fastball with the wicked curveball and the poise that he had, it just, I have a reaction, because it was like he goes down as, while he was great while he was here, he ultimately was one of the biggest disappointments in Chicago sports history, just because of the precedent that he had built, and then injuries toppled him. I don't even know if you have a thought on that, Alex, but it's just what I'm saying right now because it's coming to my brain.
No, I completely understand that. I mean, you look past, you know, 20 years of baseball history, and you think what Mark Pryor could have been after the injuries, or if the injuries didn't happen. But, you know, obviously he had a tremendous start to his career. But you look at the way pitchers are treated right now, you know, a lot of them deal with injuries when they are younger, and Cade Horton dealt with an injury when he was younger in college, and he got Tommy John surgery. So hopefully on the mend, you know, from that, you know, it took 16 months, but, you know, he made his professional baseball debut a year ago. And then if you're able to do that and ascend to the AAA level in less than a year, if you look at the trends, things are trending in the right direction for Cade. And, you know, you look at some of his film this year, he looks significantly better, significantly sharper, ball jumping out of his hand more than it did last year. So it is moving upward for Cade Horton. And again, it's really going to start at the AAA level on Saturday when he makes his AAA debut for the Iowa Cubs at Principal Park.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for sure. You got to get hyped up for stuff like, I mean, I guess that's the life's blood when you're doing the minor league games, that when you get a significant prospect like that on your watch, or guys that are doing rehab starts, that's got to be the biggest blast for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in this homestand right now, you have Justin Steele getting the start on Tuesday. You have Cade Horton starting on Saturday. And then look forward, we have a 12-game homestand. So if there's progress in some of the Cubs rehabbers, you know, you have, say, a Suzuki, you have Cody Bellinger that are both on the mend. If they're going to both potentially rehab, if they could both potentially come to Iowa, I mean, that's so much fun. So I'll say a Suzuki last year hit a home run at Principal Park. Cody Bellinger rehab for the Iowa Cubs for two games. You know, Wilson Contreras rehab with the Iowa Cubs in 2022. I mean, it's always fun seeing big leaguers, all-stars come down to Principal Park, and the fans absolutely love it. It really adds to the atmosphere.
Talking to Alex Cohen, radio and TV broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. Just a couple more questions for you, man. I got some guys that I want to ask you about aside from Cade Horton. First of all, I got to ask about my guy, Carl Edwards, CJ Edwards. How's he doing? Is he doing all right?
He has been awesome. Yeah, Carl obviously was in spring training with the Cubs, was on the cusp of making the team out of spring training. Then he requested his own release, signed back with the Cubs 3 weeks later. He started off with the Iowa Cubs, I think it was two series ago in St. Paul. He had a rough first outing. He walked three, but since he's got a sub-2 ERA. Still trying to get his fastball velocity back to what it was during spring. His last outing, though, 92, 93 miles per hour. He had that great knuckle curve, struck out a batter a couple nights ago on that. It was just absolutely filthy. And again, with Carl, I think that he will be back up in the big league sooner rather than later for the Cubs, just with the way that he's pitching and the way that the organization knows him, what he can contribute. You know, for a team that right now, Chicago Cubs, they're competing. They're 6 games over .500. They're one of the best teams in the National League. And you can get a guy like Carl Edwards Jr., who's won a World Series with the team, you know, get him up to the bullpen latter half of the year. He can really help the team.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the big league team has had a number of high leverage bullpen issues in terms of, you know, Craig Counsell needs arms. So I look forward to seeing Carl Edwards back with the big team, just so he and Kyle Hendricks can be the only two players on the roster that were part. It's pretty amazing, man, how fast things change. Is it that he, Carl Edwards, and Kyle Hendricks would be the only two remaining members of the 26 World Series team?
Yeah, that is, when you think about it, I mean, obviously you're 8 years down the road on that, but if you're going to guess two players that would have stuck with the organization through the 8 year stretch, I think Kyle would have been up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously Carl is beloved, but yeah, you think of guys like Brian and Rizzo and Schwarber and, and the last two standing are Kyle Hendricks and Carl Edwards Jr. Make sure you have that on your bingo card, you know?
Can you believe, like, Chris, I know you followed Chris Bryant and covered him and all that, man. It's really like, from a Cubs perspective, you should be like, okay, looks like the Cubs got the very best out of Chris Bryant, and he's not going to be good with anybody else. It's just like, it's shocking how far it seems like, how far into irrelevancy Chris Bryant has fallen.
You get twisted emotions based on it, because obviously you see Chris, he wins an MVP with the Cubs, wins the World Series in 2016. He is the face of Chicago Cubs baseball, and you know, obviously he gets traded to the San Francisco Giants for, you know, a pair of players who are both still with the Cubs organization 2 years later, Caleb Killian, Alexander Canario. Killian had a great spring with the Cubs, looked like he was going to make an impact at the big league level. Canario now playing up in the big leagues.
Yep.
So from a name-to-name, production-to-production basis, Cubs won the deal. But then you have Chris Bryant. He goes to Colorado. They're struggling. He can't stay healthy. You really feel bad because he's such a special player and such a special part of the Cubs organization.
No doubt. Just from the interviews that I was able to consume when he was in town, he seems like he's happy. I mean, I'm sure he's not pleased with the way he's played, but, I mean, this is a guy who has a lot of reasons to be happy in his life, and he pretty much expressed that. Two other guys I want to ask you about. Brennan Davis. I have not forgotten about Brennan Davis, who was taken round two of 2018 and seemed to be, like, escalating quickly, and then he de-escalated because of injuries. How's Brennan Davis doing?
So Brennan Davis started back with the Iowa Cubs last road trip in Buffalo, New York, and the second swing he took, he hit it 400 feet, 113.5 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Off the bat.
Yes.
Three-run home run, and you close your eyes, you hear the sound, and it felt like 2021. Futures game MVP, first two home runs of his AAA career, and his first two at-bats, Brennan Davis. So obviously it was a really nice start. Brennan looks a lot healthier, a lot happier coming back with the Iowa Cubs this time around. He's really having a great spring training until he was hit by a curveball and the helmet was in concussion protocol. But, you know, Brennan Davis comes back here, and you got to remember, he's 24 years old. He's a year and a half younger than the average AAA player.
Uh-huh.
So I would not give up on a player of the caliber and of the character of Brennan Davis quite just yet.
Good. I love hearing that. Last guy, Owen Casey. Are we going to see him back in the bigs here?
Owen Casey has been absolutely awesome. He has a 14-game on-base streak right now. So I tweeted earlier today that he had a 13-game on-base streak, and usually when I tweet about a guy having a streak, I'm the kiss of death. So I was fully expecting that streak to end. Well, he got hit by a pitch, he singled, and he walked today. So the streak still lives on. I'm not the kiss of death. But Owen's hitting about .360 over the last 14 games. 21 years old, first year AAA baseball. He's hitting over .300, OPS over .900. People don't understand how big he is and how athletic he is. He can really fly. He can play both corner outfield positions. He has four outfield assists and he can flat out hit. I was talking to a scout earlier this week, and he had a couple comps for Owen Casey that were really complimentary. One was Sean Casey, and the other was Mark Grace. So those are two guys who have made all-star teams and made livelihoods decades out of hitting the baseball in the big league. So those are two pretty good comps right there for Owen Casey for his offensive potential.
I love that. Mark Grody, the fan, his favorite Cubs player of all time is Mark Grace. So I love the comp. Alex, you've answered all my questions. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to your broadcast on Saturday with Cade Horton, and definitely talking to you in the future, man.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night.
Yep. Thank you, Alex. That is Alex Cohen, radio and TV broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs and Marquee. If you do want to follow him on Twitter, as he said, he's posting stuff at Voice of Cohen. I would totally look on his Twitter right now, but I don't have Twitter right now. I am walking a tightrope right now. I was somehow, I'm just going to be real with you guys. I have been suspended from Twitter.
Is that why every time I tag you in these tweets on the score, there's no profile picture? I was going to ask you, what'd you do to your profile picture?
I don't know what happened. What happened? So, yeah, it was about a week and a half ago, and that's what the experience that I had. All of a sudden, I wake up one day, and my pictures are stripped from Twitter. I can't get on. It's telling me to log in, and it's like, nope, sorry, can't do it. And then apparently I've been suspended, and I have a theory on why. So I was suspended. I then tried to make another account. I was like, okay, well, this thing's suspended. In the meantime, in between time, I've got to find another Mark. And I wasn't trying to hide. I was like, this is going to be Mark Grody something something else instead of at Mark Grody Sports. And then Twitter sends me another message saying, we have suspended that account too. So here's what I think happened. And it's really not funny. This is killing me, man. Like, this is, it's what we do. Like, I can't be as informed as I need to be if I am not on Twitter and not tweeting either. So if you're wondering, where are you, Grody? How come you're not? I'm doing a lot more stuff on Instagram now, Mark_Grody. But here is my theory. There was a fake Mark Grody running around out there. It was the handle that I've lost control of, ladies and gentlemen, is at Mark Grody Sports. The imposter that was running around out there was at Mark Grody Sport. Okay, that was the distinction that he made. And this guy was wreaking havoc. He was DMing friends of mine and people, and like, he was just acting a fool, doing weird things that hackers do under that name. So I got a number of messages from very, very nice consumers of my Twitter account saying, hey, just so you know, I turned this guy in, or I filed a report on this fake Mark Grody. I did the same thing. I imagine dozens of people did, because I got lots of messages from people. I was like, oh, thank you, and I apologize. I'm sorry this guy's wreaking havoc, or this girl, whomever it is. But I think then in the process, since it was the suspect account was at Mark Grody Sport, that they saw at Mark Grody Sports, and they just decided to suspend the whole everybody. And I have not had any luck yet getting the official reasoning, nor getting my account back up and running, or getting an explanation. I've tried everything. So if you are a person that works at X or Twitter and you got the power, hit me up somehow on Instagram, maybe.
Elon Musk.
Yeah. And I don't want you to send me a link either. I don't want a link telling me, oh, here's what you do. No. At this point, I need somebody to sit down and do this for me, because I have tried everything.
I looked up Mark Grody Sport on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm just dating back. I didn't realize that this guy has been lingering around you for a little while. There was a tweet. I'm just looking at the replies. And someone just like, I love Mark Grody, but why is someone trying to impersonate him on Twitter?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would actually be fitting if somebody was trying to impersonate me, isn't it? Maybe this is what I deserve for a lifetime of impersonations. Somebody like, it's the energy of the world. It's all coming back against me now. I'm being impersonated. This is my punishment for all of my sins of the earth. Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I've got some people are working on it. Obviously, the company is working on it. And then I have a friend of mine who has a high aptitude for these things that is coming over tomorrow. And it was hilarious because I said to him, I said, look, I need some help from you. He's like, oh, what is it, man? He's like, why don't you just FaceTime me? No, no, we're not doing that. I need some, because I've done it all. I need somebody sitting, but like I clean my place. He's going to come over tomorrow and we're going to sit in my little office and I'm going to set a chair up. I'm going to have him sit next to me and do everything that I've been trying to do. I don't want any more advice. I don't want to FaceTime anybody or somebody talk me through it or have a link sent to me. I need somebody to take care of the problem for me.
The typical like first IT question. Did you try unplugging it and plugging it back in?
Oh, yeah. No, I've done it. I've done it all. But my buddy was like, oh, yeah, we'll take – he's like, we'll take care of this. I'm going to go pick up my kid. That'll be perfect. It'll be 20 minutes. I go, no, no, no. I need you to designate like 2 hours of your time for me. And I told him, I said, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But I need your full attention. I will pay you at this point. I need you working for me tomorrow. Not the old, I don't know, man. Good luck. I need somebody to be with me, okay, to make this problem go away.
I love that.
That's what I need. But anyway,
I'm sorry that your Twitter's gone, though.
It's okay, but I felt like the audience maybe deserved an explanation, or maybe I just wanted to give an explanation because, it, like I said, I'm walking this tightrope without Twitter. I mean, part of it is kind of nice because I don't feel like the pressure. Like, I don't have to tweet, but God, there's been a lot of things that I wanted to tweet. Oh, maybe stuff during the NFL draft. That would have been great. I'm Mark Grody. I don't have Twitter. This is The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I do like the idea that Carl Edwards, CJ Edwards, could be back in the bigs. At least he's pitching well enough to be back in. He was a late cut for the Cubs, and you know that he pitched in the ninth inning in Game 7 in Cleveland. And I got a little biased. I was doing pre and post send, and I always loved talking to Carl Edwards, one of my favorite guys to talk to. And his career didn't quite spike the way I thought it would, just because of the way he was when he was good with the Cubs. But you know, maybe this is his second life, being that it's his second life with the Cubs, and the Cubs. There's no doubt, as we talked about earlier, they've got problems with the pitching and the bullpen right now in terms of sustainability. Eventually you're going to get Justin Steele back and Jordan Wicks. We talked about Kyle Hendricks, very successful rehab start. We'll see if that helps him at all. But right now you have to look at it for what it is, and the Cubs need arms right now. Their bullpen is exhausted, and high leverage has not been kind to a lot of the Cubs starters. So, yeah, I mean, you got to keep an eye on AAA Iowa and what arms are available and may be coming. I liked hearing about Brennan Davis, too. Man. Maybe the Cody Bellinger being out for just a little while, like he has been and is, you know, maybe it's like good that. Because, like I said, Cubs are 19-13. Nothing really bad has happened to the Cubs. But you get, now we know that Pete Crow Armstrong, I don't know what he's going to be or what his maximum is in his baseball career. But at least we know now he can play Major League Baseball. And he could hit fastballs at the big league level and definitely could play outfield. Like, we know that. A little worried last year when he came up and he couldn't hit fastballs. But PCA has been good. We'll find out soon if he is going to be the prospect that a lot of people thought he would be. This has been fun. Been a fun couple hours. I get 3 hours with you tomorrow night. I'll be on from 6 until 9 tomorrow. Thank yous to Patrick Finley for coming on, talking Bears with us. Alex Cohen, radio and TV broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. Of course, Tyler Buterbaugh, thank you for producing the show. Thanks you to everybody listening tonight. Sorry we couldn't get to a lot of calls or interaction tonight. I'll try to do more of that tomorrow night. But I know you guys are out there. Thank you for listening. I'm Mark Grody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress, Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I do like the idea that Carl Edwards, CJ Edwards, could be back in the bigs. At least he's pitching well enough to be back in. He was a late cut for the Cubs, and you know that he pitched in the ninth inning in Game 7 in Cleveland. And I was loved. I got a little biased. I was doing pre and post in, and I always loved talking to Carl Edwards, one of my favorite guys to talk to. And his career didn't quite spike the way I thought it would, just because of the way he was when he was good with the Cubs. But, you know, maybe this is his second life, being that it's his second life with the Cubs. And the Cubs, you know, there's no doubt, as we talked about earlier, they've got problems with the pitching and the bullpen right now in terms of sustainability. Eventually, you're going to get Justin Steele back and Jordan Wicks. We talked about Kyle Hendricks, very successful rehab start. We'll see if that helps him at all. But right now, you have to look at it for what it is. And the Cubs need arms right now. Their bullpen is exhausted, and high leverage has not been kind to a lot of the Cubs starters. So yeah, I mean, you got to keep an eye on AAA Iowa and what arms are available and may be coming. I liked hearing about Brennan Davis too. Man. Maybe the Cody Bellinger being out for just a little while, like he has been and is, you know, maybe it's like good that, because like I said, Cubs are 19-13. Nothing really bad has happened to the Cubs, but now we know that Pete Crow Armstrong, I don't know what he's going to be or what his maximum is in his baseball career, but at least we know now he can play Major League Baseball and he could hit fastballs at the big league level and definitely could play outfield. Like, we know that. A little worried last year when he came up and he couldn't hit fastballs, but PCA has been good. We'll find out soon if he is going to be the prospect that a lot of people thought he would be. This has been fun. It's been a fun couple hours. I get 3 hours with you tomorrow night. I'll be on from 6 until 9 tomorrow. Thank yous to Patrick Finley for coming on, talking Bears with us. Alex Cohen, radio and TV broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. Of course, Tyler Buterbaugh, thank you for producing the show. Thanks you to everybody listening tonight. Sorry we couldn't get to a lot of calls or interaction tonight. I'll try to do more of that tomorrow night. But I know you guys are out there. Thank you for listening. I'm Mark Grody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.